Our study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, the tragic result of not maturing in Jesus Christ. God wants us believers to grow in Christ, to mature spiritually in our walk with Him. Colossians 1:28 talks about how Paul was concerned about presenting every man complete in Christ. So God doesn't want us just to stay as spiritual babes. He's great. He's very happy, of course, when people believe in Christ and become babes in Christ, but we're supposed to get out of the babyhood and go on into spiritual maturity. Now, this is not only something that God wants, but growth is a necessity if we would avoid eventual spiritual hardening. And it's permanent spiritual barrenness, a reality that is solemnly clarified in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8 as follows. I want to read this passage, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8. Now, this is a passage that has been very badly mishandled and misinterpreted for many centuries by various people. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks on the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Okay, after urging his readers to leave the basics to go on into Christian maturity, that's in Hebrews 6, 1, 2, and 3, the author of Hebrews leveled a dramatic warning about the tragic result of not maturing in Jesus Christ, Hebrews 6, 4 through 8. Now, remember, we were in high school. Oh, this is back in the 1960s. And some of the young people in our group read this, and they got scared because it looks like it's saying that if you lose your salvation, you can never get it back. Because notice what it says. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they crucify unto themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You'd be amazed at how many people live in real fear because they feel that they've lost their salvation and God doesn't want to have anything to do with them. They had one shot, they missed it, they blew it, and now they're on their way to hell and nobody can help them. Because on the surface, you can, in a way, make that verse say that. But thankfully, that's not what it is saying, and we're going to correct it here tonight. Some hold Hebrews 6, 4-6 teaches that one can lose his salvation, but this is incorrect on several major reasons. First of all, many passages, such as John 5, 24, teach that one cannot lose his salvation status in Jesus. Let me read that verse. John 5, 24, if you don't remember any verse on eternal security, remember this one. These are from the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death into life." Now, he didn't say he shall not come into condemnation providing he's still living a good life, or providing he doesn't sin, or providing he still is believing hard enough. It says he shall not come into condemnation, period, but is passed from death into life. That's eternal security. Once you've got it, according to Jesus, you're not into condemnation. Besides, were the passage to teach that one could lose his salvation, it would also mean that one can never be saved again, because in verse 6 it says, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. So if it says that you can lose your salvation, you can't get it back again. But that doesn't jive with what Jesus said in John 6, 32, 6, 37, rather. And I want to read that verse. John chapter 6, verse 37. It's a wonderful verse. And Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out." There was a Nazarene pastor one time that came to be reordained as a Baptist in the church that I attended, a Grace Baptist Church in Chico, California. The Nazarenes, of course, believe you can lose your salvation and gain it back again. But This man came to us, he said, I've got to be reordained as a Baptist, because John 6:37, Jesus says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that means anyone who comes to Christ. So if you've lost your salvation, Christ will get it back. But Hebrews chapter 6 says that if you lose it, you can't get it back. So from his perspective, he says, that's not true. So you can't lose your salvation. So he says, if you can't lose your salvation, you're Baptist. So he says, I want to be ordained as a Baptist. So he had limited understanding, but he came, and our church reordained him as a Baptist and became a Baptist pastor, having been a Nazarene pastor. So it's very important what Jesus says there. So Jesus said, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. So it's not true that if you lose your salvation, you can't get it back again. And it's also not true that you can lose your salvation anyway. So that's not what the passage means. Now, some hold that Hebrews 4:6 warns against an artificial profession of faith in an unbeliever. In other words, they're warning that it's impossible for a person who is faking to be saved and then he moves away from it ever to come to Christ. But that's not what the passage is saying either. I'll tell you why. The people mentioned in Hebrews 6:4 had tasted of the heavenly gift. They had been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and they had tasted of the powers of the world to come. You notice that. Verse 4, they have tasted of the heavenly gift. That means the gift of eternal life. And were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, according to Romans chapter 8 and 9, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. So if you do have the Holy Spirit, you belong to Christ. So these are people who belong to Christ. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Galatians, chapter 3, verses 2 and 5, talks of the power of the Holy Spirit that you've tasted and the power of the Holy Spirit to give spiritual gifts to do different things. So these were genuinely saved people that he's talking about. So we cannot say that these were people who had a false faith, but they are true believers. Now some hold, and Dr. Ryrie holds to this in his Ryrie footnotes, in Hebrews 6:4-6, some hold that if a Christian hypothetically was able to lose his salvation, there would be no provision for repentance. However, the Greek language at Hebrews 6:4-6 does not support this view. The translations often use the word conjunction, if, before the expression, they shall fall away. My King James has it in Hebrews chapter 6:6. If you have an NIV, it has it, ESV. They all have an if clause. The Greek New Testament does not have an if clause, period. All it has is the participle parapesontes, who have fallen away. So the passage should then read, quote, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted, who have shared, who have tasted, and who shall fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. So he's talking about people who have actually tasted and so forth to be brought. These are actual believers who have fallen away, whatever that means. It doesn't mean losing salvation, but if they fall away, it's impossible for them to come back and repent. Consequently, the way to view the passage is to take it as a warning against hardness in Christians. We're not talking about hardness in unbelievers. We're not talking about apostates. We're talking about a Christian can get to the point where he's so hardened he will never repent. Now, I've seen this in the lives of believers. To get to the point where, after a while, they don't want to have anything to do with the Bible or God or anything. They just get hard and hard and hard. And I know I've seen the evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That's what happens. The idea of fall away in the epistle, where it's Hebrew readers, and we know they're a Hebrew according to Hebrews 1:1, were in danger of slipping back into legalistic Judaism, and we've covered this before. We've mentioned Hebrews 13:10-13. Implies a failure to miss God's blessing. So the fall away is falling away from following Christ to going back into Judaism. Paul uses the expression of falling away from the standard of grace and going into legalism. Falling away does not necessarily mean at all that one can lose his salvation. In fact, I don't believe Paul ever uses the word fall away to refer to losing salvation. He refers to falling away from a high standard of living down to either immaturity or carnality or hardness. And that's all he means by fall away. Those of the Pentecostal faith, Arminians, Nazarenes, and so forth, they will all interpret fall away as losing salvation. But it doesn't mean that. It just falls away from a high standard to a low. Well, thus by re-entering Judaism, the followers of which religion had sentenced Jesus to die, the falling away of the readers of the Epistle of Hebrews into Judaism effectively left them condoning Christ's death in union with their countrymen in Judaism. This is why it says in verse 6, the last part, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. They do, because if you're going to go back into Judaism, and Judaism had rejected Christ and condemned him to die on the cross, you're in company with people who condemned Jesus Christ to die on the cross. So you're actually crucifying Jesus afresh. Now, the author, therefore, suggested a deep hardening of their hearts against all efforts to win them back, not to Christian conversion, but to Christian commitment as Christian believers. So there's a tremendous danger. Any one of us here, even as Christians, we can get to the point where we refuse to grow in Christ, or refuse to repent of sin, and we let it dangle and let it dangle to the point where we will get hardened ourselves in our walk, to the point where we just stop going on and start in our walk with Jesus Christ. And we can get to the point where we won't repent from that point on. And then, of course, the next step, of course, is the sin unto death that John talks about in 1 John 5. So there's a tremendous warning here. Every one of us are on a slippery, we're like a cat on a hot tin roof. We're either sliding one way or we're sliding the other way. We're either growing in Christ or we're going back. None of us is staying immobile. So we have to be very, very careful. Now, Hebrews 6, 7 and 8 illustrates this whole point. Christians are those who are spiritually richly blessed of God, like the land that receives his abundant rain and yields productively of various desirable crops. Notice verse 7, for the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often on it brings forth herbs meet for them for whom it is dressed, and it receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns, that ground which responds to the rain of God, which bears thorns and briars, is rejected. He's talking about thorns and briars slipping into Judaism, going into legalism. This is dead spirituality. It's rejected and it's close to cursing, whose end is to be burned. What do they do with a field that's full of weeds? They burn it. That's what they did in Israel and so forth. So if the land yields thorns and briars with the rain, a picture of believers who respond to God's spiritual blessings by turning back to dead Judaism, it is close to being cursed and burned. I've been in churches where there are Christians who have probably been Christians, professing Christians for 40 or almost 50 years, and they're still babes in Christ. They've been locked into that little thing and they've never grown. It's tragic. And some of these people are in their 70s and 80s, and they've heard great preaching for years, but it never applied. And I believe it can be a real form of a hardness. And that's what the warning is here. So we believers must go on into Christian maturity, for the alternative is spiritual hardening that leads to failure to repent and lasting immaturity with its ongoing loss of blessing and divine discipline. So may we leave basic beliefs to go on into the depths of God's truth for maturity and blessing. It's not an option. We don't have the right to say, well, I'll grow in Christ and that'll make him real happy, but maybe next year. It doesn't work that way. With God, it's like he wants us to grow now. And there's a danger if we don't. We can get to the point where we ourselves become hardened as believers, and then there's no real blessing, and we don't see the vitality of God interacting with us and blessing us in our lives. So God help us to be very careful to keep growing in Christ.